Podtacular, episode 317, Forger's Delight, for October 10th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
I'm Dav Link.
And?
And I'm CM here.
Yay! A little slow on the uptake, but he is here. It's been a while. When was the last time you were on here? Was it the Decade Shows?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I was on actually pretty recently for the first time in a while. That was right after PAX, I think.
Okay.
I think we were either talking about PAX or
all right,
it's been a little while.
All right, that's not too bad. How's life in the land of pre Halo 4 tricks?
I feel like I'm stuck in limbo, like I'm waiting to come out of sleep just like John is.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to be woken up.
Wake up, Chris.
And that's November 6th.
Wake up, CM.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'll be doing tricks like crazy.
Do you guys have some tricks that you already have planned in your heads or what you want to look at doing?
Everything and anything. The first one I'm going to try is tank pinball, just to see if that works.
Why did I have a feeling you were going to say that?
It's like
I could have called that one a mile away. That seems to be everyone's favorite trick, though, is the tank pinball thing.
Yeah, it's a really fun trick. It was more fun in Halo 2. Because you could actually be in the tank while it was spinning.
Yeah, it bounces off, like, all the walls on Blood Gulch, or Coagulation at the time,
bounces
sorry.
Bounces like a pinball. Yep. Bounces like a pinball.
Was that ever tried on anything else other than Coagulation, like Containment, or anything else?
I don't think I did it on any other map in Halo 2, besides Coagulation. I don't know why.
I mean, I would assume Containment would.
I only did it once anyways.
Yeah. I would think Containment or Turf might
be Halo 3.
Interesting maps to try it on.
In Halo 3, you could only do it in Forge. You had to spin it around in a circle on its upside down, and that would create the effect. But you couldn't be in the tank at the same time.
Well, it wasn't that reliable either.
About Forge, that's true too. But since we're talking about Forge, you might as well just go right segue into Halo 4.
Makes a perfect segue into what we're talking about, which is the reveal of all three Forge maps and a few more Forge details that got released on GameSpot over the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have the full map list of Forge, the Forge maps now, and I think that pretty much wraps up all the multiplayer maps. I'm not absolutely 100% sure if all the multiplayer maps that we talked about last week, all nine of those is the final list. I've talked to a couple other people and they think there may be a few more that they haven't released yet. But I think we have the complete set of multiplayer maps and Forge maps. So the three maps for Forge are Ravine. That's the Forerunner one that we saw back at RTX. Impact, which is the one that got released yesterday on GameSpot from the recording of this. And the new one, Erosion. So Impact is basically in that asteroid field where you're out in the middle of space. And then Erosion is in a cave that's pretty much been eroded away by water, hence the name Erosion. All three of the maps are definitely not as big as Forge World. They are significantly smaller. I would say somewhere around to a quarter to maybe a third of the size of what Forge World was for all three of these maps. Impact probably being the smaller of the three. And then Ravine, I don't know. We didn't get a good look at everything in Erosion and Ravine, so I want to say Ravine's probably a little bit bigger because they talked about having that big open space beyond the cliff and the Forerunner structure that you can actually forge stuff in. So I want to say that the playing area in Ravine is actually probably the biggest out of the three. So
now I have a question that maybe you guys could answer about the maps. Now, these three Forge maps, are these specifically for Forge, or are they also like going to be in the multiplayer as well, kind of like how Forge World was in Reach?
So I think for the most part, because one of the map variants that I think is going to be playable in multiplayer is a map called Ravine that, what's the company called?
Certain Affinity.
Certain Affinity, thank you. That Certain Affinity made, it's called Ravine on Impact. And I think it's just going to be similar how they did the Forge maps on Halo Reach, where they have a certain preset Forge list that they have, and they'll probably incorporate that into War Games.
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Well, out of these three maps, I really like... Well, I guess I can't really decide. I just like Ravine just because of the way it looks. I just like that terrain. But Impact and Erosion are two maps that are kind of really new to what we've seen in Halo. I mean, Erosion kind of looks like, as you said before we started this, Waterworks from Halo 2. But it actually feels more like a cave system.
Yeah, it feels very
different
than Waterworks
ever did.
Yeah.
And Impact is like you're on a freaking asteroid, you know, just bouncing around in zero gravity.
So weird, right?
And, you know, that you kind of did that. You kind of had that on Halo Reach with that one map, Zealot or whatever. But it's not.
You had the low grav outside.
It was in a cover midship.
Yeah. I mean, this one, you're literally fighting on asteroids, more or less. They're small rocks.
Yeah.
They're not huge asteroids, but for the most part, that's you're fighting in the middle of outer space. You're not on a ship or anything.
Exactly.
You're out in the middle of outer space.
This the game Halo, you know, takes place in space, yet we're always like on a map or a place that is kind of like Earth, or it's actually like a planet, and this map is just completely in space, literally.
Yeah.
So that's kind of new and kind of actually pretty cool. I really like that idea.
I agree. One of the other cool things about at least Impact and Erosion is just seeing the shadow and the lighting effects that you're going to be able to have with forging objects on there. I think the dynamic lighting
the objects look great.
Yeah. I think the dynamic lighting is going to really play into the effect of some pretty awesome Forge maps. At least that's what I hope. So let's dig a little bit more into details on these three maps as much as we can muster in words. If you guys have not seen the video that GameSpot has put out, we will put a link in the show notes for you guys to go check it out. But over the last 2 days, GameStop has put out a video kind of going over some additional features of Forge that was not talked about at RTX. And then they also released the three maps in total for Forge. But going over Ravine, we've pretty much seen in a good amount of detail at RTX. It's a Forerunner-based map. It has a big structure on kind of a rock pillar. It has a big ravine in the middle that separates a green rolling hills area. And then there's a waterfall that goes through that, a couple of tunnels and other things. So it's just a big open area. With the Forge building, the Rolling Hills, and then the ravine in the middle. And then if you watch the RTX presentation, you will know that they did Achievement Horse, and there's a big section just over the water that's just open to Forge in. There's pretty much nothing in the way. You can put your Forge pieces wherever you want. It's basically just an empty map. So that map, I think, is going to be the source for a lot of Forge, just blank Forge palette made maps. Other than that, I'm not sure how much we'll see on the actual cliffside green hilly area. I am interested to see if kind of maybe some one flag or one sided objective between the Forerunner base that's on there and then the big open area on the cliff of the ravine on the other side. That might be something that would be interesting to Forgers. So I think that, maybe some Slayer, and then just open-ended Forge out in that open area is probably what Ravine is going to be used for, in my opinion. Does that sound right to you guys?
Yeah, I just can't help but think of all the machinima possibilities with Forge and just creating your own locations within a game to be used for your own narrative.
Yeah, and the nice thing about Halo 4 Forge now is that we have these three different Forge environments. It just adds a lot more locations that you can add to a machinima piece. You're not restricted to...
Yeah, exactly, and they're completely different from each other, too, which helps as well. Because one of the things that Halo... I can't remember. It was... Halo 3 lacked, like, a desert map for a while. And then they finally came out with... I can't remember if Sandtrap came with Halo 3 or not, but that was, like, the only desert map. And then they added some other ones later on. But with Halo 4, it looks like they just have a huge variety of different locations and terrains that are just... That, which is great.
Yeah, it's very, very, very diverse. I think we have probably the most diversity in multiplayer maps in Halo 4 than just about any other Halo game. Because Complex has that kind of
reach.
Sandy desert / beach feel to it, with the Forerunner buildings and the dirt all around it, so you kind of get that. You have now this outer space map. That's Impact, that we haven't seen anything like this in Halo 4 yet. You have Erosion, which is... There's a good amount of horizontal space that you can utilize, but there's also a lot of vertical now, too. So it's basically segregated into almost 4 or 5 different parts, just naturally. They also said in the video that there's a little room in Erosion that was used for the Griffball Court. So if anyone watched the PAX presentation of Halo 4, then that was the room they were actually using, was on Erosion. So, little tidbit of info for you there. Speaking of Erosion, let's go ahead and move on to that. It's basically a hole in the... Well, not really a cliffside, just a hole in the ground that's been pretty much mined out. There's a big flat area on the surface that has been leveled, and I want to say like metal Forerunner structures have been at least established on the base of the map, and then there's some areas underneath a cliff, and then that cliff leads up to another playable area that we saw flood mode being played on, which is quite big for the most part. Lots of little tunnels and bridges and stuff, and with the Forge palette, you can probably make some pretty interesting buildings on that as well. Then you have the Griffball Court, and then you have this big area above that cliffside that you can probably build some stuff up there as well. Just a matter of how high it actually goes. Other than that, it's kind of hard to describe. There's some stalactites and stalagmites everywhere from water erosion. There's pillars of limestone that kind of are scattered throughout the map, mostly on the edges of the cliff, going from the ceiling down to the cliff and then from the cliff down to the floor. So those are kind of add some interesting architecture to the maps. Other than that, I can't really explain it any better. Can you guys think of any other details that I left out to add to that?
Not that I can think of.
All right.
Oh, I just want it to be November.
I know, right? November 6th can't come any faster.
Are being released.
As of this recording, it's about 27 days away. So, I cannot wait till November 6th. Well, actually, November 2nd, because I'll be at Dallas, and there will be Halo 4 at MLG Dallas. So I can't wait till November 2nd either. So the last map is that we haven't quite talked about in detail yet is Impact. And like we said, it's pretty much on two different asteroids, or that's the ones that we've seen them use architecture on. There's a ring of asteroids that actually surrounds the playable area, and the developer said that was basically so you can get your bearings on where you actually are on the map, depending on kind of how the map is forged. So if you...
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at the custom map that they made on Impact on the first video, which came out Tuesday, it's called Relay. It's a symmetrical map, pretty much meant for 4v4 and free-for-all kind of game types. And it's just put on one of the asteroids, and you can look up and you can see the stars, the sun of the system that you're in, the asteroids kind of floating around the map. And it's just overall a breathtaking view, knowing that you're in outer space.
Yeah.
There is an established base on there already, on one of the asteroids, and there's also what looks like mining lights on there. So they've kind of tailored the map to where you're never in a spot where it's absolutely dark, just because that's kind of how outer space is. It's dark. So they put those extra lights in there to kind of help counteract that. So most any forge piece that you put down is not going to completely black out the entire scene that you're going to be in whenever you play. Makes way for a lot of interesting outer space machinima, though. I could see Rooster Teeth using it.
Anything in general.
I would see Rooster Teeth probably using it in their stuff down the road. At least I would think.
Of course. It's just with each game or with each Halo release, there's just more options added, which
I know. It's just going to get better and better, though. Consumers
or creators something to use to make and create all this great stuff. I can't wait to see all the great Forge maps that are going to be created by the community and posted.
It's going to be insane. To see. Now, Daft is away for the moment, but something he did bring up earlier is not really being able to build huge racetrack maps like you could in Halo Reach. So all those big tracks that people would make, they're not going to be as big in Halo 4. But then again, we don't even know if race hasn't been confirmed in Halo 4 yet. I would assume that it would be in there just because it's a popular game type for just about everybody that's played Halo Reach at some point.
Yeah, that's my favorite custom.
Yeah. And there are some pretty awesome racetrack maps out there. Some of them that you would not believe. It's like, wow, who made this and how much time did it take to make this? Because there are some Forge maps that pretty much go from the Colosseum all the way down to the Valley. And that's pretty much over the whole span of Forge World, which is just crazy. I mean, it must take people days to make that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At least I would assume.
It's an art, and it's an art.
Well, Forge in and of itself is pretty much an art. Forging. Yeah.
Yeah. Forging is an art, that's what I was saying.
So that's the three maps that we have for Forging. The palette on Ravine, of course, is Forerunner-based. The palette on Impact is UNSC-based. I don't recall them talking about the palette much on Erosion, but I think that one's probably UNSC-based as well. So, unfortunately, in this pack of maps, we do not have anything Covenant-specific that I saw or am aware of. So that's something at least I was hoping for. I don't know if other people were looking forward to it. Maybe it will be something in a DLC later on. Who knows? The video on Tuesday that got released actually was the first one to show off Impact, but it also showed off a few more Forge-specific features that we have as well. A couple of those being the magnets on all the objects are now little orbs on the quote-unquote ends of the objects. So you can kind of line those up and see where the magnets are actually snapping together. So if you have maybe a bridge piece that you're connecting to a base, you can see where those magnet pieces lined up. And for the most part, Certain Affinity put those magnets in places where they think people are going to be using them most. And what we saw from the video of them using it, it seemed like they're pretty well placed on all of the objects. And I don't think people are going to have much of an issue using them. Of course, you can toggle magnets on and off. So if you have a custom position that you need against something, some kind of object, maybe something just doesn't quite match up or you're using it for a different purpose, you can always toggle magnets off while you're forging. So it's just one of those handy tools that if you're making a bridge from a doorway or a base or something, it's very convenient to use. Basically speeding up the process of forging and just making people that can forge playable maps a lot easier. I wouldn't assume that a lot of the people that do Forge art would use it that much, because it's usually very fine-tuned placing of weapons and other, like, objective spawns and other things like that. But in terms of making gameplay maps, I think this is going to be a very, very useful tool for a lot of people. So another thing that they added, it was just kind of a play off of the player trait zones, is something called gravity volumes. And what these are basically you have low gravity and it affects more than just a player. So it affects vehicles, it affects grenades, anything else that is affected by physics. These gravity volumes take effect to those objects as well, not just the player. So if you want something that just affects the player, you want to use player traits and affect player gravity, player jump height, all that stuff. But if you want something to be globally affected on just about every object in the game, then you would want to use gravity volumes. And another addition to that is that there's two types of gravity volumes. One that is visible, so you can make it known to players on the map, and then ones that are invisible. So it's just like a zone out there, and it just has those characteristics without people knowing about it. So that is going to make, I think, at least on impact, some pretty interesting maps. I could see maybe stuff for erosion as well, if you use those different tiers of forgeable areas, maybe going up from the ground floor up to the cliff shelf side of the house, then maybe you would use something like that. But other than that, I think having the gravity volumes affect more than just the players is actually a pretty cool idea. There is also a delete by palette option. So you can, when you go to delete something, you can delete all human weapons, covenant weapons, vehicles, objective spawns, all that kind of stuff that fits within certain defined traits. And there, of course, there's the option to delete everything. So if you're in the delete palette options, you can also delete everything and start with a clean slate. So instead of having to do something in Halo 3...
I can see a bunch of people trolling.
Oh, goodness. That would be... Well, so I hope one of the things...
Just make your party closed or invite only.
Well, so I hope one of the things that they fixed, because this was also an issue in Halo Reach, I think, is... Well, actually, I don't know, but I hope they fixed it. At least it wasn't Halo 3, that you could go into Forge, and one of the options in there was that only host could switch to monitor mode, and that actually didn't work quite right, because it only affected pushing up on the D-pad. You could still go to start and then switch to monitor mode, and they didn't quite account for that. So I'm hoping they fix that for Halo 4. So they can,
yeah, that's right.
So you can have people kind of come in and at least play on the map while you're forging. And another interesting thing would be if that was fixed, that you could actually have a match going on and then have someone, have the host be the monitor and then just drop random stuff. So just give stuff to both teams, or just go around and kind of act passive and then just drop random things. That'd be an interesting thing to do. I was hoping that they would actually do that for Halo 3, but that never turned out to be. Because they talked about dropping a tank for your buddy and then dropping a bubble shield. And I was hoping that being able to do that would actually foster some interesting gameplay or kind of team games. But unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. Maybe it's a little bit more refined for Halo 4 and people will look into that. We'll see what happens. Another pretty cool thing that they went into detail on was the drops, the ordnance drops. So there are three types of drops. There are initial drops, there are random drops, and then there are objective drops. So the initial drops are just like you would normally think of. They're at the beginning of the match. It's like your rockets, grenades, all that stuff. You have random drops, which can be just... you can set a time interval to them, and then they'll spawn random weapons, or maybe there's an option in there to spawn a certain subset of weapons, or maybe just grenades. They didn't go into details on what exactly you could limit drops to. And then there are objective-based drops. So these take into effect whenever a certain objective is complete. They didn't go into what kind of objectives that there would be supported. There's probably some, like, when a flag has been captured, when an oddball has been picked up, or when a bomb has been planted, stuff like that. So we have those three types of ordnance drops that we can forge. One of the other things I noticed in the video was that the player trade zones actually have channels connected to them. I'm wondering if those channels can actually be tied to a specific team or maybe a certain series of events. So say you're wanting to jump from some low place to a high place. Maybe the low gravity takes effect for people just jumping up instead of falling down a certain tube or something like that. Or maybe it's set to one team and not the other. So if, like, take Team Fortress, for example, so you have the safe spawn zones. So you could basically say that if a team spawn, like, for this team, they can get out because the gravity is lower here, but the other team can't get in because the trait doesn't apply to them. Maybe something like that. It also may have something to do with Dominion, the Dominion game type, because I would assume for the ones, when you're in the base, there might be some custom player traits in there as well. Maybe. Or maybe I'm just making that up. So.
I just want it to be November.
I know, right? You can't come soon enough.
Talking about this, I want to go play it right now, but I only have Reach.
I know.
I don't want to play Reach.
I know.
I'm done with Reach.
Oh, slight thing I forgot to mention. When you go to delete everything, it will not delete locked objects. So if you have a baseline established and maybe you just want to delete everything and go back to a baseline that you've set up, doing delete all will not delete locked objects. Yeah. So that's nice. That's really nice. That's all the things I really picked up from the video. There were some other things that they talked about that was already revealed at RTX. The duplication, the locking ability, the magnets, the highlighting effects of when you have something selected so you know what you're selecting. All that stuff. We really didn't feel like we needed to go necessarily into that much detail again. But if you're curious, go watch the RTX video. It's up on our YouTube channel. You can get to that by going to podtacular.com/YouTube, or you can go to youtube.com/podtactv, and it's up there. It's back a few videos, so you may have to search a little bit, or you can just search YouTube for any other copy of it. It's posted in quite a few places, so make sure you check that out, and we will have a video. Well, I'm hoping to record a video tonight on both of these Forge videos, so hopefully it'll be up on our channel for you to watch these as well. With a little analysis by yours truly. Other than that, was there any other Forge stuff that kind of came to mind that you wanted to bring up, or was that pretty much it? I think I covered most of it.
I think that covered the most of it.
Alrighty. There was another little piece of info that came out about Halo 4. We're not going to go into it too much detail on this show, because we'll probably be talking about it later on a future show. And that is that they released a terminal video from Halo 4. So that means we are going to have some terminal archives in Halo 4, just like we have had in Halo 3 and Halo Reach and ODST, those little terminal-like things. And the first terminal is up on Waypoint. Watch at your own risk. There are some spoiler things on it. So if you're one to forego any and all campaign-related spoilers, do not watch it. For those that don't care or want to just know everything about Halo before it comes out, you can go check it out on Waypoint right now. We'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. And the first terminal, for anyone that's interested, is called Jule Mdama. That's hard to say. I'm not sure what it means or what it translates to, but that's what it's called. No bulletin yet as of this podcast, because we're recording this podcast a day early, and Waypoint was actually undergoing some maintenance to help speed up the site, and so far from what I've seen, it's actually a lot faster. The homepage doesn't take an hour to load. So Check that out at your earliest convenience. Nothing functionally has changed. There's just a lot of optimizations on the back end that they've taken care of. Everything else is still functional as always. But with that wrapped up, let's move on to some submissions.
Yeah, submissions. Woo.
Yay. We have a few from you guys talking about some of the stuff we've covered over the last two or three episodes. First one comes in from FC Pictures. He says, I've noticed that in some trailers, the Mantis trailer, for example, there seemed to be a focus effect on certain clips. The background seemed blurry as opposed to the foreground. Could this be a game feature or just a developer trick? This is probably just something that they did for the video. Unless I know exactly where you're talking about, I know for the first kind of opening scenes where they basically showcased Ragnarok, that's definitely effects done in post. That's not part of the theater for Halo 4. But other than that, from what I saw from all the Mantis gameplay stuff, that video was clear, like it was taken from theater. So I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at, but if you're talking about the initial 30 seconds or so of that video, that was definitely done in post. So, who wants to take the next one?
I'll do it.
Do it.
Okay. Bioman998 says, aside from the flood assassination, am I the only one who thinks that it would be nice to have a medal for meleeing a zombie to death? In Reach, I find that to be pretty hard, but I have succeeded in at least one game with the human melee as my tool of destruction. Anyway, just thought to bring that up. Keep on fragging trucks.
I don't think it's a bad idea. Although, we already have the final list out, and that was not one of them. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we will not...
You can't... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Never mind. I misread what he said.
Okay.
I'm good. Move along.
All right. Well, you're in the next one, so...
Yeah, meleeing a zombie, it's kind of hard to get because they have their swords. Unless you hit them from behind. I mean, I don't think it's metal worthy. I think it's like a little impressive, but I don't know if it's totally metal worthy.
I would say maybe if you assassinate one, that would deserve a medal.
Yeah.
I don't recall there being one for that though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So Chris, you got the next one.
The next one is from RJ Diaz.
Yes.
Hey, Pontacular, Halo 4 is shaping up to be one of the best Halos in my opinion, but I don't really like most of the armor sets. So I was wondering if it's possible to include new armor sets in the future map packs. I, for one, don't think, well, if even if it was possible, I don't think it's possible because they've never done it before and you'd think they would at this point. So yeah. I don't know if that's going
to
be
the reasoning that they've had in the past for not being able to include new armor sets is because they would have to, the armor sets are written into the map code. So that means they would have to redistribute every single map. And that's just an additional 8 gigs that you have to download every time they add a new armor set. And you wouldn't be able to... like, if you took your box to a LAN party and if it wasn't on the correct version, you wouldn't be able to play with anyone that didn't have the same version of the map as you did, which is just a hassle. And also, look at how many different armor variants there already are. I mean, there is a bunch. Yeah, I think someone did...
There's a lot more in Halo 4.
Yeah, someone did a count somewhere, and there are quite a few. I think there's 34 different armor classes, and then those include like different helmets, shoulders, chest pieces, and all that stuff. So there's definitely a lot of armor in there. The specializations armor I'm not really particularly fond of, but the ones that are in the base build of the game look pretty good. I'll say that. I'll probably still rock the Mark 6 helmet. Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, probably me too, because I remember back in the day in Halo 2 when all you could change was your colors.
I know, right?
A long way since then.
Oh, yeah, and that was even more limited in Halo CE. That you could only change colors. At least in Halo 2, you could change emblems and secondary colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at all the colors, guys. Look at all the colors.
Halo 4 is shaping up to be a very, very good game.
Indeed it is.
Halo 4 is really looking double plus good.
So, Dutybound writes in our next one. He says, what's up, guys? So, I believe that in the book The Flood, I remember reading about Chief coming out of cryo, and the book was talking about how normally people would go into cryo naked, and that the Chief would have freezer burns because he has his suit on. It's funny how it's in the books like that, but in the games and videos, everyone has clothes, and the issue of freezer burn isn't addressed. Oh, except for the Ford Unto Dawn, it's definitely there. P.S. I finally beat Dusty in speed, as I would... I said I would do it, and I have. I don't care how lagged the game was. It was lagged for everyone, so it was fair, and I didn't cheat this time either. So, yes, he did beat me. I did not come in first, second, or third over this weekend. This weekend playing speed. So, I have been beaten before. I got beat this time. I will probably be beaten again. But the game was still laggy. Very, very laggy. So...
Yeah, were you even going to be able to, like, have room to make remake speed in Halo 4?
Like, oh, yeah, Ravine will definitely have room for
you
it.
You sure? It's good. I mean,
yes.
But the structure that you play speed in, I mean, that's a pretty big structure. You know what I'm saying?
The only issue would be the height.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if Ravine has enough space.
It's definitely very sizable.
I don't know. I still... Well, I guess I didn't mention this before. I'm very much of the opinion that these Forge maps are cool, but they're not big enough. They're not nearly as big as Forge World, which was gigantic. We need a gigantic map like that in the game. Like, I want a giant racetrack.
I don't think we need one that big.
Yeah, we do. People like giant racetracks. We need giant racetracks in the game.
But rarely was the entire map used.
But when it was awesome.
Yes,
racetrack.
I don't know. Those maps for me got old pretty quickly.
That's you.
The majority of the map tracks that I've downloaded only take up the space around Pinnacle. That's it. And that fits well within the size of Ravine.
Can I order takeout? Can I get a...
Hi, Chris.
Deluxe Enchilada Grande.
Keep this in the podcast.
Shredded beef. Nope, that'll do it. Chris. Yep. Okay, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris's dinner for the night.
Sounds delicious. Well, I thought he was getting Chinese food, not Mexican.
Yep, it sounds like he changed his mind.
Mm.
All right. So
what I was saying was about Forge World. No, hang on. Was, I just don't know if we have the size in Ravine to make a structure as big as the structure in Speed. Is my concern.
I'm sure it is.
I hope so.
You have that big open area that's outside the cliff area in the ravine.
Yeah,
and it's pretty tall up and down.
I know, but
that'd be my only concern is how high can you actually
go. Keep in mind that structure on speed. It's pretty tall and big.
It is. I would say there is some room to shrink it down a little bit, but having it that tall, it's probably nice. But I'm assuming people can remake it.
You know what they're gonna do now? Watch everyone complain that these three Forge maps really don't have enough space when everyone's actually playing on them, and then watch them put in like the first DLC pack, like a giant Forge World S map that will make the DLC sell like hotcakes.
Perfectly content with these Forge maps.
No, they won't. Because it's not big enough. No, listen. Because people are
they're,
so used
no,
to.
No, they're so, plenty big.
People are so used to Forge World though. This is going to seem so small compared to Forge World.
A very few amount of people use the entire Forge base for that. But very few people.
But even if they didn't use the whole map, they were used to having it at their disposal.
People are going to be fine.
But they liked the wiggle room of the
map. No, people will be fine. It's going to be all right.
No, but it's a money-making thing. The giant Forge World that everybody wants, they'll put it in one of the DLCs.
People want varied palettes more than they want a big Forge World.
I want a big Forge World.
Then you are in the minority. Oh. To answer Duty Bound's question about freezer burns. All the Spartans, for the most part, they go into cryo in their suits. The suits, the freezer burn is a lot worse when they're in their suits, but they're Spartans. They can take it, and their suits actually have stuff that help kind of take that, take care of that a lot quicker than having just normal people go into them and take care of that. You want to take the next one?
Sure. Let me pull it up. Wait, is this Spartan LZ I'm taking, or is it the next guy?
Yeah, Spartan LZ.
Have you guys considered offering your podcast on SoundCloud? I heard listeners can make comments throughout the podcast at specific points in the audio recording. So what do you mean, like a live stream?
No, SoundCloud is for audio. So Neil Davidge actually put the samples up on SoundCloud, and it's mostly just for people to share music and stuff, and people can comment, put comments in there. I have not seen a podcast use SoundCloud for comments like that, and I would assume that if it was something very feasible and popular, that we would see a lot of major podcasts do that. And I haven't heard of a single podcast that does that. So, I mean, good suggestion, but it's not something that we will probably look into. If you have comments that you want to make, we have comments on the episode pages that you can use. We have the forums that you can go and talk about stuff in there. People go on and talk about our episodes in there as well. So there's plenty of avenues to talk about stuff, if it's that important to you. The last one comes from Noob's Best Friend. He writes in, "Hey, what's up, Podtac people? Noob's Best Friend here, and I've noticed something. Lasky and the Chief have a lot in common, and I was wondering if you noticed. Both of them were kind of just dropped into a conflict. They had no decisions if they wanted in or not. John kind of just accepted his role, but Lasky pushes back against it. And if I'm not mistaken, they are all around the same age. Maybe they can see themselves in each other, seeing what they could have been if things were different. Just a thought. Keep it clean. New Best Friend." Or maybe it's No Best Friend. There's only one B in there.
It looks like
New Best Friend.
New Best Friend.
New Best Friend. Yeah. So that does seem to be a correlation there between Lasky and the Chief.
Well, is Lasky really forced into this academy?
Yeah, pretty much. He was put there because he has a lineage with his mother and his brother being...
But who put him there? His parents?
I would guess so. We don't know specifically, but it seems like from what we saw from the first episode, he really didn't have a choice.
Perhaps.
I would say... Because Lasky's more like a high schooler age. He doesn't...
Yeah, he's not like a six-year-old. Yeah,
yeah. Chief was abducted at the age of six. And he definitely did not have a choice.
But then, isn't this kind of like... I'm seeing Star Wars here. Because, like, when Anakin came to the Jedi Temple in Episode 1, Yoda says he's too old. He's full of anger and, you know, whatever. Because they want him younger, so they're easier to mold. It's like the same thing here. Like, Master Chief, he was just so young at the time, he's very easy to mold into, you know, what the UNSC wanted him to be, whereas Lasky is, like, older, he's high school age, he's full of anger and, you know, opinions and whatever, he's a bit harder to mold.
Right. And it's not the Spartan Project either.
Yeah. But this academy is a lot easier than the Spartan Project, because the kids aren't being, like, augmented and stuff, right?
So. Yeah. There are a lot of similarities there. I will give him that he recognized that. And I would assume that everyone that watches this will probably try to draw that conclusion. It's definitely something that 343 will definitely push in this series. And it was he caught it nicely. Very, very good foresight into the series. And we will definitely see more of that down the line, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. Wraps up this episode. It's a short one for you guys this time because we didn't have a bulletin to talk about and not a lot of rambling for this episode. But I wanted to say thank you to Chris, even though he's out getting his dinner, for coming on last minute and talking about all of the Forge stuff that came out.
Yeah, I love dinner.
Hope you guys enjoy the maps. If you have not watched the videos, make sure you check out the show notes because the links will be there to the GameStop videos. And once I get our YouTube analysis videos out, the links will, I'll try to put the links there as well. Also, check out our website, pottackler.com. While you're there, check out the forums. Also, check out Monday Night Matchmaking, which we are doing all the way up through to Halo 4. And we'll probably take that week off because I will be flying to New York for our launch event. Wow. And with everyone probably doing midnight launch release parties, there's almost no point into doing it on November 5th. So we'll be doing Reach all the way up through then for Monday Night Matchmaking, and then we will probably pick it up either the week after or 2 weeks after Halo 4 comes out and start doing some Halo 4 matchmaking nights as well.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that one thing you mentioned, Dusty, you know, less than a month now, clock is ticking, right?
It is. As of this recording, it's 27 days away.
Yeah, get on
and
that, Dusty.
Yeah, spring break's almost I'm over. I'm actually going to external help, and I gave him 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks' time, he's going to help transform the beta forums, and we will get those kicked out the door probably about a week before Halo 4 launches.
Yay.
So I just do not have the time to work on it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I've messed with it here and there, and with all the Halo 4 information that's come out and all these cons that are happening, I just do not have the time. I figure content is more important at this point, keeping you guys informed and giving you guys the information that you want. So the forums have kind of taken the backseat, unfortunately, but I've met someone at PAX who said he's willing to help out, so I've gotten him on the job, and he'll start working on those here very shortly.
Yeah.
So no worries. It will be done one way or another. You can also check out this podcast on iTunes and Zune if you're not subscribed to those already. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular, and Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular. And I have a feeling Chris is back with his dinner.
Yeah, he's a bit of a smoker's cough.
No, he doesn't smoke.
That's good.
So check us out.
Shout out to our smoking thread on the forum's open discussion. Yeah.
There's some interesting points in there.
We also have a thread for alcohol.
Alcohol, politics, smoking.
Yeah, politics, yeah.
Other real life stuff.
Yeah, homecoming dances, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that thread today. I'm like, I'm just facepalm.
Yeah.
I didn't do homecoming personally, and I honestly did not care.
Right. Yeah, LAN party seems to be a popular substitution.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to get an old shoot 'em up going with Call of Duty or Halo or?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, haters gonna hate. Right?
Or LAN party with tacos and pizza, as CM Near is demonstrating for us right now.
Yeah, tacos and pizza. Yeah. Yeah, listen to him unwrap it like a Christmas present. Right?
Oh my goodness. So check us out on those. You can check out our YouTube as well. It's youtube.com/podtacktv. And if that's a little confusing for you, you can do podtacular.com/youtube. Get you to the same place. We pretty much do videos whenever 343 releases official videos. And occasionally we do some other stuff. Recently I haven't had time to do much in terms of videos, but I did release the Mantis video that got released, I think, 2 or 3 weeks back. Put that one up, did a little analysis on YouTube earlier this week, so check that one out. It got retweeted quite a bunch, so you may or may not have seen it already, but if you haven't, please go over there. Check out some of our other videos, like and subscribe to the videos if you really like the work that we're putting into them. Share it with your friends. I know there's plenty of other sources of Halo news out there that are a lot more quickly responded to than mine, and in most cases are done a lot better, but this is something that you guys wanted from us that we wanted to try, so all your support would be appreciated in this effort.
Yeah.
If you have anything to say about the information we talked about in this show, any of our past shows, or any of the upcoming Halo 4 information, or if you just have any Halo 3, Halo Reach stories that you want to tell us about, anything Halo related, feel free to send us a submissions You can do that by hitting the big green button on our homepage that says submit, or you can send an email to us directly at submissions@podtacular.com.
Yeah.
Make sure you check out the beta forums in the next 2 weeks or so, because that's when final stuff should be approaching.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that the guy I have on the job can pull some tricks out of his hat. I know he's done some pretty good work before, and he's volunteered his time to help, so I'm hoping that you guys will really enjoy the stuff that he's going to be putting onto the site. And he will probably be joining us for a show after Halo 4 comes out, to, just kind of as a thank you to him for doing this for us. And when the time comes, I'll reveal who he is so you guys can say thank you to him on Twitter as well.
He's probably snoozing off on the
job. So I just realized I had my mic on the entire time.
Yep, we heard you order.
So you guys heard me. I ordered an enchilada. I didn't know you guys would hear that.
We heard.
I thought I muted my mic.
Nope.
So I'm sorry that was in the podcast.
Oh, we're keeping it in.
Thought I muted my mic. Oh, gosh. When I was about to leave, I was wondering what you guys were talking about. Like, keep it in. I was like, keep what in? It's like, my mic's muted, so they can't hear me ordering. Right?
No, we heard your order loud and clear. We were talking about taco and pizza nights at LAN parties being much better than going to homecoming. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap up?
This Mexican food better be good. that's all I got to add.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys for listening. Make sure you tune in later for more delicious episodes. The one for Forward Unto Dawn this week will probably be a little later than it was last week, because I will actually be traveling to New York for New York Comic Con on Friday. So we'll see kind of how and when we can do a recording. We actually pulled some information from a follower on Twitter that actually kind of reached out to me, and he's actually going to be at New York Comic Con as well. Why am I forgetting his website? He's Halo 4 fan follower, something like that. I am butchering his name. I am so sorry, dude. But
Halo 4 follower?
Yeah, I think that may be him. No, got it. Halo Fan for Life. That's the guy. So he's actually going to be at New York Comic Con. And we actually took some stuff from his website, some analysis stuff that he did. So we may actually just do the recording there, do a short 30-minute recording, similar like we did last week, and talk about the episode in detail. I did hear back from Jess, and the episodes actually get released at 3 a.m. on Friday morning, 3 a.m. Pacific time. So that's 6 a.m. East Coast. So if you're up that early, you can check out Forward Unto Dawn bright and early. Other than that, check them out whenever you get home from work, if you do that, or maybe school, if you have school. And we will be doing a show at some point for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Indeed. How's your enchilada?
It's pretty tasty.
Pretty tasty, huh? Very nice. Where'd you get it from?
Yeah, it's really good. Across the street.
Lazy. But still very nice. At least you went out and got something.
Yeah, I walked across the street.
Right. So, very nice. If you are going to be at New York Comic Con, make sure you hit me up. I will be roaming the halls. I am pretty hard to miss. I will be wearing a Podtacular shirt, and I am probably one of the tallest guys there. Chris can attest to that.
Make that the truth.
Alright. Thanks guys for listening, and we will see you guys next time.
See ya.
Adios.